God's Son, eyes pouring fire blaze, standing on feet of furnace-fired bronze, says this. What are you talking about? Whoa. What he's saying here? What? Make this one on the New Living Translation, Brother Harry, so everybody can get it. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Thyatira. This is the message from the Son of God, whose eyes are like flames of fire, whose feet are like polished bronze. Jesus Christ is speaking to the church. Can we agree on this? This is the message of Jesus Christ to his church. We're so far together, right? Verse 19. Let's go back to the Message Bible. Read it with me. I see everything you're doing for me. Impressive. The love and the faith, the service and the persistence. Yes, very impressive. You get better at it every day. Oh, glory to God. I mean, talk about commendation. Boys and girls, I see everything you're doing for me. And I find it impressive. So what that means, he's getting some quality time with his people. And he says, I see your love, I see your faith, I see your service, and get this, I see your persistence. Many of us, just because we start sneezing, oh, I got a cold, I got a flu. Let me tell you this. Solomon said, as a man thinks in his heart,
so is he.
Jesus said, the mouth speaks out of what is full on the heart, what your heart is full of. The fact that I sneezed doesn't mean I have a cold. I don't. Oh my God. It's flu season. I'm going to start sneezing. A few more days, my sinus will kick in. My eyes are blurry. I'm going to persist to believe in the Word of God despite of my body, despite of what it is feeling. I'm going to be persistent. Believing in the Word of God. You say, what does it got to do with prophet? Stay with me. Don't rush. When I am pushing towards loving people that is hard to love, and above all, to love my God, when I'm persistent on my faith, when I'm persistent in the service of God, the Lord says, very impressive. Now, here's the kick. He says, and you get better at it every day. So what's the kick? I am not persistent once a month. I am not persistent once a week when they come to service. God got his quality time every day. And when that happens, God said, wow, impressive. Now, notice that this kind of compliment, shall we put this way, is for the people that are on a daily basis persisting on their love for God, persisting on their faith, and persisting in serving God every day and getting better at doing it. Are you with me so far? Yes. When we have this kind of lifestyle, we don't need to be hunting prophets all over town. Listen to verse 20. But why do you let that Jezebel, who calls herself a
prophet,
what does she do? This is deep. This is deep. Why do you let that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet mislead. Did anybody hear what I said?
Yes.
Mislead.
Yes.
My dear servants, into cross denying. What is cross denying? When somebody gonna listen to a prophet and the prophet tell them to do something that puts the cross away. When some prophet tell them to do something that is contrary to the message of the cross. And if it is cross denying, if it's contrary to what is in the Bible, then it's self-indulging religion. What is the problem with religion? It nullifies the word of God. You're not getting this. Oh, I don't understand. Simple. One time I'm in a service, and one of the so-called prophets has come in. And I'm the little guy. This is a big conference in Boston. So I am literally the little guy. Nobody even looked at Paul Sanders, and I wasn't there for the looks. Or I didn't even want to be a prophet. I don't like being a prophet. I don't want to be a prophet. If God has to say something to somebody and there's nobody else to say it, I will say it with a lot of hesitance because I don't want people coming back to me. Do you remember the word you gave me? No. And I don't. I said, Lord, I will deliver a message if I have to, but as soon as delivered, erase it from my head. Why? I don't want to take credit for it. I don't want to be one of the sons of Jezebel. Because I may end up leading people in self-indulging religion. Are you with me so far? So this prophetess walked in. I was staying in the house of a lady. Husband had left her. She has a truckload of kids. So I was told that I would have been in her house when we reached Boston. And it's actually Somerville on the outskirts of Boston. And I was said, Pastor Paul, you're going to stay on Sister So-and-so's house tonight. Da, 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 da. So at that moment, something aroused within me. And the Lord said some stuff. I can't remember what it was, but it was somewhere in the neighborhood. God is going to make sure that you need to be taken care of, da-da-da-da-da, something like that. She said, it has to be from God because all that I have left to my name is 20 bucks. At that point, I had nothing in my pocket because I had been taken as a translator. So I had nothing in my pocket, just a Bank of America credit card with a few bucks on it. So it's 1 hour before the service. We go in. We all sit down. I never like to sit on the front seat. I went all the way to the back. Let all the big shots sit on the three rows. Then I'm on the fourth row. All right. Here comes the prophetess. And she stands up and looks to this woman. Thus says the Lord your God. Give $50 into my ministry. And you will see prosperity starting tonight. Poor lady then start weeping. And she's there standing. Weeping. So finally she said, I don't have $50. I have only $20. The prophetess says, put it down and write an IOU. Wow. I came to a point that I abhor this nonsense. And that propelled me to seek my God even deeper. So that I don't have to depend on a prophet that will sell me a false prophecy for $50. Why do you let that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, mislead? That woman dropped the $20 on the bucket. We stay in that town for a week. And a week later, she still had nothing to eat. To the point that we spent a whole day on the service. The service started at 9. We went until 11 o'clock, midnight or something like this. So we all went to different houses. I slept on a sofa, and they would come and pick me up early in the morning. And 11 o'clock in the night, she gave me crackers with coffee, because that was all she had at home. Mislead my dear servant into cross-denying. So how does this apply to your story? The Bible says that Jesus Christ, when he was at the cross, proclaimed in a loud voice, "It is finished. It is done." And then he says that he rose and he sat at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Which led the Apostle Paul to say later, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." If I've got my need met, I don't need a prophetic word. I need to jump into glory mode. Into glory land. I need to be in the Word of God. I need to spend quality time with my God. I need to be persistent with my service to God. I need to be persistent with my love for God and other people. I need to be persistent on my faith and don't give up when things get rough. I don't need no bozo prophet to come around and sell me a prophecy for $50. First thing, it wasn't from God, because God knew that woman had no $50. So you're saying, well, if you're so much against prophet, why you bring prophets here? Because you are educated. We don't come to church to get prophetic word, but I really need to hear from God. I can lead you immediately. You can have, how many words from God do you need? How many words from God do you need? I can give you as many words, but I have a specific situation. Tell me what it is, and I'll give you the prophecy right in here. Amen. But many of us are driving across town seeking for a prophetic word that many times will lead or mislead us into cross-denying and or self-indulging religion. Just like the prophet came in and said, well, you've got to fast for 7 days. You got to pay 3 hours, 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour at noon, and 1 hour in the evening. After 7 days, you get your miracle. The person did all that, and the situation became worse on the 7th day. So are you saying that we shouldn't pray and fast? Don't be lousy. I didn't say that. But you cannot buy God with your prayers and your fasting. We are strong on praying. You know that. Y'all know this. We are strong on praying. My wife is an intercessor by design. God did that from the beginning. We love to pray. Yesterday evening, we had 3 devotions. Why? Because we love God. We pray, we fast, we do vigils, not because we want to bribe God to be blessed. We are children, not bastards. Watch this. Give me the verse 21, Brother Harry. I gave her a chance to change her ways, but she has no intention of giving up a career in the God business. Listen to verse 22. I am about to lay her low. along with her partners, as they play their sex and religion games. I know prophets that are having an affair with church people. Verse 23. The bastard offspring of their idol whoring I will kill. Then every church will know that appearances doesn't impress me. Don't impress me. I x-ray. Is that what he says?
Yes.
I x-ray every motive and make sure you get what's coming to you. We don't fast. We don't pray. We don't do vigils. We don't do the chain prayer because we want to bribe God into giving us blessings. No. We do that because we love Him. It's a result of a relationship. Not self-indulging religion. Are we together on this? Are you getting what I'm saying here? I'm not telling anybody here stop fasting, stop praying, stop doing vigil. This is not what I'm talking. The reason behind what we do things will determine how much of God can we get. I love this version because it says, I x-ray every motive and make sure you get what's coming to you. If your heart is right, if you're fasting for the right reason, what's the right reason? You want to abstain your flesh from ruling over your life and you want God to have more of you. If you're praying because you're eager to have a conversation with your God,
hallelujah,
somebody that you love, somebody that you're looking into developing a deeper relationship,
amen.
If you're doing a vigil because you are craving for the supernatural, for the celestial things, God says in His Word, He will make sure that you get what is coming to you. Are we together so far?
Yes.
I don't want to hear some of you say, well, the pastor said we should no longer fast and pray. Because this is not what I'm saying. And I know that you're not a bastard. You're a child of God. And as a child of God, you get what is coming to you. The reason behind what we do will say a lot. You say, well, I hear all that you're saying, but it doesn't tie up with the fact that people are losing their blessings. Stay with me. May I have verse 24, please? The rest of you Thyatirans, the rest of you who are not in this mess, have nothing to do with this outrage. The rest of you who scorn this playing around with the devil, that gets paraded as profanity, be assured, I'll not make life any harder for you. Isn't that great? For the rest of you that not get into this mess, this self-indulging religion that is devil playing, huh? And it's being paraded as profanity. Oh, this person is so profound on the things of God. Really? I don't want to go there right now. But I could spend the next 3 hours showing here things that a prophet can do that a spiritist can do in the same way. What? Yes. Moses hit his rod, and there came some frogs. The spiritist did the same thing.
Yes,
he threw his rod, it became a snake. And he picked it up, it became a rod again. The spiritist did the same thing. The only thing is that when they did that, Moses, the snake, ate all their snakes and told them, who's the boss around here? Then he grabbed it again and it became a rod. Are you with me here?
Yes.
So what you're saying? Sometimes people are looking for a prophetic word all over town. They miss their blessing. They miss what God gave to them because they have the wrong reason behind what they're doing. Well, I still can see no connection. Well, let me see this before I show you the connection. Those of us who will not have nothing to do with this nonsense, Jesus tells us, be assured. Be assured. I want you to be sure of this. I will not make your life any harder than what it already is. So where is the connection? Verse 25, please, brother. Read it with me. Hold on to the truth you have. May I have that on the New Living Translation? Except that you hold tightly to what you have until I come. I like that. Hold tightly to what you have until I come. Unwind on that. You stop being chasing words from different prophets all over town. So you're saying that I cannot go and listen to that prophetess? I'm not telling you anything. It's your life. You can do whatever you want to do. I'm just saying be careful that you're not driving all over cross town to go to listen to a prophet. And when you get there, they tell you to do stuff that is self-indulged religion. Because when you do that, you just finish losing what the Lord has given to you. So how do I go about this? Go to the Word on a daily basis. Amen. Persist on your faith. Persist in love. Persist in serving God. And get better at it on a daily basis.
Yes.
God will make sure that your life and my life will be no harder than which already is. And he tells us, once you do that, I'm going to start blessing you. So hold tight to your blessings. Okay. The Bible says that children is a blessing from the Lord. Yes, they are. But mine is a mess. Hold tight to the idea that you, child, is a blessing.
Amen.
Don't let any prophet, no Jezebel, to come and tell you otherwise about your children. But you don't understand. They're all messed up today. Then you're in bad shape. You're in the flesh. Maybe you are under the spell of a prophetess, of a Jezebel. What you're saying, preacher? Let me say this to you. Very simple. If you open this door here, or if you go outside on the parking lot, you look at this land from this thing all the way to the front. It's now ours. There are 82 feet between this wall and the fence that is ours. I had a pastor here with me yesterday afternoon. We were talking. And when we were talking, he looked at it, said, so, what's the vision? All this land. I told him, I don't see a land here. Okay, what do you see? I said, a cross-shaped church. What? It's going to be very soon on the screen. This building is 110 feet by 60. You're with me so far, right? I have another 80 feet going down, plus my 10 is 90. Okay, what's the deal? In the near future, I don't know when, we're going to extend. We're going to remove this wall from here. The whole wall is going to come out. And the building will continue for another 70 feet, all the way to the back. Why? We don't need all that. Who says we need? We want it. And God's going to fill it. Well, God is not filling what you have here right now because I don't have parking space. And this is why I'm buying the land next door. So once 70 feet is gone and it's all done, this all comes out. We'll just tie up the sanctuary. So it will be no longer 80. It's going to be 150 feet long by 60. Oh, wow. How many people can you put in? 600. Easily. Okay, so how does it fit into the cross shaping? We're going to have the north wing. That's going to start at this corner, right here. And it's going to go that way 80 feet. The south wing is going to start at that corner. It's going to go that way 80 feet. 80 by 30. Is everybody with me so far? So I don't understand what you're saying. The church right now is something like this. Once I take possession of the land, you're going to raise money and we're going to double the size of the building. So the church will be long like this. Then once the south wing comes on that corner, 8 feet going that way by 30, and the north wing comes 8 feet, 80 feet by 30, it will look like a cross. So, why do you need? Stop talking about need. Good gracious, can you erase that word from your vocabulary? I don't need anything because I am blessed far above and beyond what I can think or ask. So need is not a problem in my life. I have desires. And the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord your God, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. It has nothing to do with need. I am not a bastard. I am a child of God. Therefore, being a child of God, I don't have needs. I have desires.
Hallelujah.
So, I'm going to end with the wings. The south wing will have all the classes. Huh? I thought it was the north wing. No. And I'll explain to you why. If I have 80 feet going that way by 30, the walkway will be something like this carpet here. It's about 6 feet. People come with their children to go to Sunday school, just open the door and walk into the south wing. And there's going to be 4 classes, a bathroom, and a book reading room. Why that way? Stay with me. So now decide, say that now some of you are going to marry. What? Say that Sister Bess is going to marry. And then we got to have a celebration, huh? The marriage is over. All you have to do, it's not this door, will be the one on the corner here. All you have, all finished. You open the door and you're going toward the reception hall. Amen. Or fellowship hall. Where are you going to have some 100-something chairs? There's going to be another office. That's going to be a door right there. That on days that we have only 70, 80 people coming for prayer, we don't have to come in here. Mm-hmm. You can go straight to the fellowship hall. Amen. Are you with me here?
Yes.
So what you're saying, preacher? Hold tight to your blessing.
Yes, Lord.
Don't let no devil take away your blessing.
Amen.
You got a child and the child is weird? Yes. Don't look at the child for what it is right now. Look at the end product, what God is doing on the life of the child. You got a job you think is a dead end? Let me tell you this. No job is a dead end when you are willing to change your perspective and let God show you that that dead end job can become an opportunity for you to flourish.
Amen.
God cannot give you the plenty if you can't handle the little. Are you with me here? Many of us let our blessing be stolen away by false prophets, by Jezebel, that will come with men, religion, self-indulging religion, and distract us away from the path of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. 11th of March, this man will have the first $90,000 to pay for this land.
Amen.
And by March, 11th April 2017, this land will be paid every single penny of it.
Amen.
I'm actually counting and paying that before. Where's the money coming from? It doesn't matter. I don't care. The Lord used a raven to come and feed Elijah. That's the most uncommon way to feed a human being. A raven that eat dead meat. But that shows you that God can use unusual ways to bless his people. The time to pay the taxes came, and the collector came. Jesus said, Peter, you're good at fishing. He didn't tell him to go to work at Wall Street. He uses what Peter knew how to do. Now, in the eyes of people, a fisherman, it's a low life. It's fisherman. Get out of here. God used what he knew how to do. God used his trade. Peter, pick up a rod, throw it. What net, whatever that was. The first fish that comes, the first. Pick up the fish, open up the mouth of the fish, the money will be there. That's going to be enough to pay our taxes. Peter went, pull it up and take a look at your mouth, boy. Oh yes, there you go. And he took the silver coin, whatever that was, and paid the taxes. What are you saying, preacher? Hold tightly what God has given to you. Don't give it away. Don't be running all over town looking for a prophetic word. You may be led into doing self-indulging religion. And again I'll say, religion is destroying. Religion is harming because it's man-made ordinances. Religion will nullify the word of God. Religion is based on tradition. God wants you to hold on to what he has given you. Now listen carefully. There's nothing wrong for you to try to better yourselves. Are you with me here? Nothing wrong. My point this morning is, be careful. God has already blessed you with a good life. I want you to read the next week, Pastor's Desk. It's awesome. It came just like it flowed through. God wants you and I to be blessed with what we have. Don't let it skip away from your hands. Because some idiot, some bozo prophet or prophetess came in and started giving a bunch of nonsense. Every time a prophet says something, okay, let me see if it matches with the word of God. If it is, now hold on to it for a little while. I don't need. Why? All the prophecy I need, all the word I need, is on this book.
Amen.
And again, you may say, oh, you're prideful. It's all your business. God knows I am not, because everything that I do is x-rayed by Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm going to get what is coming to me, whether the prophet says it or not. Amen. I'm going to wrap up this morning by making you aware of one thing. You don't need to be begging a prophet for a prophetic word. You better hold tight for what you have, because you belong to God. And God is not going to give you something and take it away. Listen to 1 John 4:4. Real quick. Read it with me. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you
is greater than he who is in the world. Amen.
I want you to reach out to the person close to you and tell the person, you are of God.
Amen. You are of God.
The best of all, you have overcome them. Are you with me here? You have overcome them. You have overcome the evil one for one simple reason. Greater. Huh? He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Tell somebody, you got Jesus inside of you. And he's bigger than the devil. He's bigger than sickness. He's bigger than poverty. Brother Harry, may I have that thing in the New Living Translation, please? But you belong to God, my dear children. Would you turn around and tell the person behind you, you are God's property? Isn't that what it says in here? You belong to God. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Tell somebody you got power within you.
You got power in you.
May I have that on the backslider translation, Brother Harry? My dear children, you come from God and belong to God. You have already won a big victory over those false teachers, Jezebels. For the spirit in you is far stronger
than the world. Praise God.
Hold tight to your blessings. Don't let Jesse steal away what God has given to you.
Amen.
You are stronger.
Yes.
You are blessed.
Yes.
You are mighty.
Yes.
You belong to God.
Amen.
You've got God living inside of you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And the one living inside of you is bigger than sickness, is bigger than cancer,
yes,
is bigger than diseases, is bigger than pain, is bigger than anything else that might try to bother you.
Hallelujah.
Hold tight to your blessings. God bless you.